and sundry, no armor, just clothes, etc. Going, well, don't worry, folks, we're the hero, you know. I mean, it's just kind of a strange approach, it seems. And you know how, after you've been saved a while, you really shouldn't have any more illusions about yourself. If you've been around anything to do with God and the preaching of the Word, after a while you begin to think, do they not think well of me? Is there something that they're saying? Really? I mean, when you first get saved, you think you're going to take on all God's problems and solve them for Him, amen? But after a couple years, you begin to realize the fact you can't solve any problems, and all you have is more problems now. And you might have gotten a little farther along the line, but there's a long way to go. It's a good thing to realize, amen? Take your Bibles, turn to a couple places here. The fight is on, amen? And it's a peculiar thing. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. First, we've talked about this week, a scene, and you've heard about. But it's, or I'm starting today, and hopefully encourage you a little bit. I try not to discourage people. I seem to do that sometimes. Sometimes our preaching, when you preach it like it is, so to speak, and teach it, you can't fill in all the blanks, and you can't fill in all the needs. You don't often have the time to cover all the bases and make all the things, answer all the questions in what you're doing, but you have to present what you're doing. And salvation is very simple. Thank God for that. Amen. You can understand the gospel very easily. You can preach a message on the gospel rather quickly, rather simply, and in 30 minutes, get it pretty solid. You can cover it pretty well. It's really amazing how that works. But there's a lot of things in the scripture. For instance, if you're going to discuss dispensations, that's not going to happen in 30 minutes. Right. If you're going to discuss the spiritual life, as you've seen, you're not going to cover that in 30 minutes. You start dealing about the aspects of why the King James Bible is the Word of God, etc. You're going to leave some questions unanswered. You're going to leave a lot on the table. There's a lot that you can't get done. And this is one of those things in a kind of way. And some of the stuff we've talked about this week has been that way. And I try not to discourage people. I try to encourage them. It's just that it takes longer. And here's the gist of it. Sometimes you actually have to think. I'm sorry. It's just what it is. Amen. You don't mind doing that around here, but I've been places where thinking just wasn't going on. It was not there. High on our list of necessities. Why would I waste my time thinking about spiritual things? Just tell me what I need to know. I mean, that's what I came here for. Tell me what I need to know so I can get back to what I need to do. I don't want to be distracted with this thing. And it's kind of a peculiar thing, but it's too much. So with those people, I like to just irritate them. I get done preaching this. You make me think. I said, hallelujah. I don't say it that way. That's inside. I say that inside. I said, what a new thing. Good for you. But what they mean is this. I don't understand what you said enough to get it. I'm confused. That's what they really mean to say. And it's not that I made them think. I made them wonder. What in the world are you talking about? So it's not thinking that they're doing. They're doing something else. But this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I said that already. And it says here in verse 9, a verse that I pretty much got memorized and haven't ever liked. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, then, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, really? Father, help us this morning, and God, that you'll have your way. As always, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 5. And this is a passage of Scripture that when people read it, they don't like it. And they stop halfway into it before they realize what God's trying to accomplish. says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a wonderful thing. If you can have peace anywhere, you're good. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Isn't that weird? You have access by faith into grace. Well, I thought grace was just something that unmerited favor. Well, how do you get access? What do you need faith to believe that for? What do you have to believe? Well, to understand grace takes some faith. And to appreciate it really takes some faith. Wherein we stand, not sit, not wander around, stay fixed, firm. And get a little happy now and then. No, rejoice. Isn't that weird? You know, the Bible says rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always. Right. Rejoice. I don't see it. Oh, I'm happy on the inside. You don't rejoice on the inside. Rejoice. That means get excited about something. I mean, if you were in a choir and they said, we're going to sing and rejoice, you don't go, hallelujah. No. You're putting it out, man. You are getting after it. I mean, it sounds like you're going to take over. Rejoice. Have you ever been around somebody that could rejoice and didn't you like it? And I mean, and when you've gotten something happen that you get excited about, who was it? It was funny. I was watching, I forget what I was watching one day. Good night. I don't watch TV that much, but this struck me as, this was a picture. I think it was on Limbaugh. Or it was on something like that. Something, it couldn't be on the radio because I couldn't see it. But anyway, it was on something. And it showed a guy that was on one of these day shows where they have the kind of game shows where you come up and you win stuff, etc. And he just won a $600 or $800 washing machine, and he was flipping out. I mean, he was almost doing cartwheels. He was jumping down, screaming and yelling, carrying on. And then they showed a picture of a couple that just won $20 million in the lottery. Really? If the other guy had won $20 million, he'd have been dead. He'd have blown his mind. Well, the taxes were taken out anyway. You don't worry about that. It's their money, so what difference does it make what you get? But the thing is, they were just kind of, yes, we just won $25 million in the lottery. Okay. They weren't even smiling. Looked like the mom and pop, you know, where they got the pitchfork there and they're standing there, that sort of thing. That's exactly what they looked like. Wow, this is exciting. And rejoice, notice this, in the hope of the glory of God. So it's not what you have that to rejoice over, it's what's coming. And you can do that anytime. And not only so, now here's where the rubber hits the road, but we glory in tribulation. Yeah. Really? Also. Notice the also. I had to put that in there. This goes along with what we just read. The rejoice part and the hope of the glory. And, you know. Knowing that tribulation worketh with patience. Paul said, don't pray for patience. You got to go through trouble. Well, why not? Don't you need it? Don't you pray for other things you need? Well, pray for patience. I don't want to get it that way. Well, you're not going to get it any other way. How do you think you'll learn stuff? You have to go through something that you're going to mess up now and then. And tribulation is one of those things. Also knowing that tribulation works with patience. Oh, and then patience, that's not the end. Experience. You know, they say experience is what happens to you while you make other plans. I mean, or something like that. I forget this. What is it? Experience is what happens to you when you're trying to live life otherwise. Experience is not expected. Experience is the thing that you didn't plan on. And experience hope. Well, it says rejoice in the hope. So hope is something you get as a result of other things. And I love this. And hope maketh not ashamed. You won't be as apprehensive about witnessing to somebody if you've gone through stuff and you've gotten inside and you're rejoicing. You know what makes it hard to witness? You're thinking about everything except God and Jesus Christ, and you have no joy in you. I mean, if you won the lottery, you wouldn't tell people. You wouldn't tell your family. But you might tell other folks. You would have a hard time not telling somebody, wouldn't you? Now, you'll never win the lottery because you got to buy a ticket, I heard. That doesn't just automatically happen. But you could pray for a miracle. But God ain't going to give you that kind of money because that kind of money would hurt you bad. Oh, think of all the good you could do. No, you don't do good with money. Money is no. But anyway, I said that for myself. All right? And hope maketh not ashamed. How about that? And get this. Our brother's been talking about the love of God because love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost. Really? Well, that's where it comes from. I don't have to work it up. I don't have to make it happen. It's a result of something? Absolutely. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Ain't that something? So you wonder why you glory in tribulations and infirmities, why you rejoice when trouble comes and tribulations. It's because somebody needs God's love, and you can't do it unless you know it. And you aren't going to know it just by hanging around. And you're not going to get it if you don't go through the progression. Don't stop at patience. Go on to experience, and then you get the hope. And then you'll have confidence, and you won't care what somebody thinks of you, because shame is on somebody you thinking something of yourself that somebody else thinks of you. And you can express the love of God. Do you realize how difficult that is? But you ain't going there without trouble. And if you let trouble beat you or you stop with it, you're missing the purpose of it. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When I first read that, when I was reading through my Bible, I said, I have no idea what I just read. I didn't say that, but that's what happened. And it took a while. You know, you look at these things and you're thinking, if that's the process, I want to meet somebody that's gone through it so they can have it, so I can get it from them. No, you don't want to get it yourself. A broken and a contrite heart has learned something about patience and tribulation and trouble and is not ashamed. And you don't think about the love of God being shed abroad in your heart, though, when you're going through trouble. You don't think about the work God's trying to accomplish. But God never, he doesn't work halfway. And Americans, Christians especially, but Americans and Christians have adopted the practice of shielding themselves in every way they can from trouble. And I used to tell my people, I say, you have insurance for everything, but God knows exactly where you're not covered. I didn't get such a response. They used to look at me, because the folks I had didn't want any trouble. Like you folks, you care about it a lot. You like trouble. Why else do you go here? But the idea of all of that is that God is trying to accomplish something in your life, and you're trying to prevent everything. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. You're not supposed to make yourself weak. God doesn't wait for you to weaken yourself. He says if you lose your life, you'll find it. He wants you willing, but you can't make it happen. Much as you'd like to think you could. You shouldn't. Because you can't be in control when it happens. Because if you are, it ain't no fun. It's got to be out of your control. This is where it really hurts. This is where things like this really take us down, when we have no control over the situation we're in. And God's working, and He's allowed it to happen, and He's even making it worse. And you lose more control until you have no control, and you cast yourself before God. And then He says, well, good to see you. Need some grace? And that's where faith will make a big difference in your life. Because you have to believe some things that matter. And if you don't believe them, they'll destroy you. God works on His people, and I'm kind of convinced He doesn't work on some. But you don't want to be one of them. We raised 4 children. And 3 of them I could land on with all 4 feet and have an effect. The 4th one he responded completely different. You didn't have to land on him. He was very sensitive. He was much more sensitive. It took me about too many years to get that, because I treated him like I did the other 3. Well, he wasn't that guy. And I don't know how he had to. He's over. I'm pretty sure he grew. Let's put it this way. How can I say it? That he got past his upbringing and mellowed out and understood. Because he's an understanding young man. Well, he's 40 years. He's almost 40. He's not young. That is young. Anyway, in the idea of how it worked out, he didn't need me to climb his cage. One time he was about 2 or 3, and his brothers and sisters were playing a game out on the table, out on the porch. We just moved into the house. He couldn't have been very old, 2 or 3 maybe. And they wouldn't let him do something. And man, he got ripped. And he threw something down and kicked a chair and grabbed this and grabbed that. And I grabbed him by the back and I said, hey, what is your problem? He went, and never did that again that I know of. You know what the rest, I'm not telling you what the rest of them would do. He was very easy to deal with. Now, some brethren can get clobbered. They go, yeah, I can take it. Bring it on. No, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. When it hits me, I say, I'm sorry. Let me repent. Let me get this. Don't bring it. Nothing. Really? Okay. But I've seen some of the brethren that, I mean, I thank God I didn't go through what they went through. And it wasn't because they were bad. Not because it was, listen, we all qualify for that. Because either God was bringing them to a deeper place and they could handle more, or they were harder to deal with. Sometimes. I've watched some of the brethren and I'm amazed at what they go through. And I asked the Lord, I say, so what's the deal? He says, well, A, it's none of your business, but B, I got something for him. And I got to make it clear. Okay. Now, the thing is, weakness is not something we seek or care about. When God makes you weak somehow, that's okay. We are weak in many places that we try to cover up, we try to support, we try to bring out. Some folks are weak in their health. You know, you can be weak in finances. That's one that we shouldn't worry about too much. I told my children, I said, don't ever worry about money. Then it's a good thing, because they never had to worry about it. They never had any. I said, don't make money anything that matters, because God can always take care of that. And if you pursue money, it might catch you. You want to be careful of that, because you can always, pretty much almost always, solve a financial problem. You know, listen to Dave Ramsey. He's got the solution to everything in that regard. What you hate is when you do everything he says and you're still broke. So money is not a major issue. I found out that you almost will almost always have what you need, even if you don't think so. I said almost always, because sometimes God has to shorten your supply up a little bit. You can be weak in intelligence. I'm glad none of us in here are. And understanding of things. That's okay. You can learn. You'd be surprised what you learn. But the things of God come by revelation. Yes. Now you study to show yourself approved unto God. But if God don't give you nothing, I don't care how hard you work. And that's a matter of your heart and your humility. But you don't learn the Bible by textbook. You learn it by revelation. And there's other ways you can be weak. You can be weak in relationships. That's a challenge. You can work at that. And there's all kinds of ways to be weak. You could be weak in character. Amen? Well, I don't want to be weak in character. And none of us think we are, until we stand up next to Jesus Christ. And we say, I don't even have any. But you can gain God's character. How about that? Wouldn't that be interesting? You can have the character of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Wouldn't it be something to develop his character? What do you think being conformed to him is about? If it's not about his behavior, his relationship with God, and his character, and who he is. And so you can be weak in yours, and trouble will show you his. That's an interesting thing. So you see, weakness is not something to be treated as if it's a plague or a problem. It is a problem. It should be a problem. But it's something that you have to almost accept somewhere in maybe more than one or two things in your life and not fret about it. By faith we enter into this grace. Isn't that something? It's what you believe about things that brings you to the grace that is sufficient. Isn't that weird? Now here's another one. We sang the song, "The Fight Is On." Turn over, 1 Timothy. I want chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here we find Paul giving testimony of his life. And he says, "For I am now ready to be offered," verse 6, "the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." Well, we're in a fight. Have you ever studied how to fight weak? Every time you see somebody's training to fight, you know what they're doing? Getting faster, stronger, better. They are not sitting around eating Twinkies and whatever those things are, and getting fat and getting soft muscles. Because you know what happens when they step in the ring? Ding, party's over. But that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to fight weak. Like I say, you don't have to make yourself weak. But when you go into this fight, you are weakened. Isn't that a nuisance? I'm going to do something for God. Sure. After you hit the wall, lose everything you have, and become nothing. Dive in, buddy. Have a good time. Write a book. It's going to take you a while to learn that. And you think we're going to, accomplish things, and all God does is tear us down and make us weak. Now, he did that to Paul so he wouldn't be exalted above measure. Why? Because he was strong in his mind and in what he understood and who he was and his character. Powerful. I mean, Paul just took his nature that he exercised against Christ and applied it to Christ afterwards. He wasn't that different a guy. So God trimmed his sails. So you wouldn't think he could do it. And proved that he couldn't. And you know what? He wrote the book. He wrote what we're talking about. He knew this. He learned it firsthand. So he knew how to fight weak. I'm not a little guy. I'm not as big as a lot of fellows I've seen. When I meet somebody bigger than me, I'm very respectful of them. But I've never really been weak physically. Until lately. That's so irritating. And you say, why is that? I don't know. And furthermore, I'm not sure I want to find out, but I don't know. And I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to just accept it because I don't think I need to. I don't think I should. I'm not sick. I'm not weak because I'm sick. And, you know, there's a difference. And so, but there's many other ways that I'm weak, that I have to accomplish the ministry by the grace of God without having the tools to do it. I'm not telling you what they are. That's between me and God. But I've noticed that. And the Lord brings me to these places. Things work well for a bit, and then I run about a 12-year cycle and hit the wall and go, ding, 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 ding. And I'm thinking, now what? Because I know what I'm supposed to do. But I come to the place where it's no longer within my ability to do it. And the things I have to solve to make it happen, I can't solve. They're not problems I can solve. But I have to keep fighting. So I have to fight through weakness or with it. You know how hard that is? You ever tried it? But you have to fight. How do you train to be weak? You never will. But you see, to tell God I can't because is the wrong thing to say. Because he doesn't take can't when he asks you to do something. When he makes a command, he doesn't say, as long as it's convenient, you can. Right. He never does that. So he expects us to persist in our weakness to accomplish his will when we don't think we can. I met guys, and you have too, you've probably heard of them. Met a fellow not too long ago. He said, I fought the call to preach for a period of time. And I thought to myself, when I've heard that, I thought, what foolishness. Didn't think I could. Or, didn't think I wanted to. Or, I wasn't like those guys. So, I couldn't be them. Well, it's not about what you can do. Especially, and so you have to become weak and then realize the fact, now I have to as well, I have to do it as weak? Yes, because weakness is how God accomplishes things. Like Brother Shanks quoted the other day, he said, it's not a matter of, God shows the weak things of the world. Things which are despised, things which are not. Zilch, zeros. Isn't that something? So as long as you think you're somebody, you won't do what God wants because you don't think you can. But if you accept weakness and by faith, you'll enter into the grace that makes it possible. because it's grace that makes it possible. And I hear guys say, I finally answered the call to preach. What were you thinking? I told my son one time, I said, do you know you're called to preach if you're called? I said, do you know if you're called to preach? He said, no, I don't. I said, do you know you're not? Nope. I said, you got to settle that. Because until you settle that, there ain't nothing else going on in your life. Because you have to deal with God first. And if you don't follow his will and his calling, what are you doing? Well, I can't. Exactly. I don't have the ability. Exactly. I'll go to Bible Institute. They'll teach me there. No, they won't. Sorry about that. You don't learn how to preach. You learn how to speak. Preaching's from the heart. Anybody, we have a speaker today. No, you have those on the wall. The guy behind the pulpit's a preacher, okay? I hope anyway. Are you our speaker today? Well, I'll open my mouth and blabber if you want. Or I can pray for God to show up and we can have something happen here. But that's up to whatever's going on. Well, I understand. People don't think. They can't help it. So you are going to solve your weakness somehow. Okay, frustrate the fool out of yourself. Just keep pounding it. And you'll find that you're not going to. Until you submit to God, and then it won't matter. You know, a wonderful thing about this, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, ain't nothing matters. You walk across water. You're not afraid of anything. You're not intimidated by anything. You've got it. That's how you fight weak. God wants you to appear to accomplish something that nobody can figure out how you did it. Not him, not her. No, that wasn't them. Yeah, it was. Okay, really? When did they change? Don't think they did change. It just seemed like they're the same person they were, but boy, that was a blessing. Uh-huh. He didn't need you, but he will use you. But he ain't going to use you strong. Not you weak. Right. Somewhere. And brethren, weakness is not just an idle indifference. When you're weak, you're weak. And there's places you're weak, you can't do a thing about it. Paul prayed 3 times, take that away, please. And God says, let me help you, Paul. Be glad to help you. Thank you. No. Huh? No. Stop asking. Get happy because you have me. You don't need anything else. And that's hard to learn, but that's how you fight weak. It's when the children of Israel are going to go in the promised land, they went in and they looked it over and they said, whoa, this is wonderful. I mean, you have an instance even in later on in David with Jonathan and Saul, when Saul's running through the woods and he just, there's honey on the ground. He just snatches it up and grabs it. It's just flowing with milk and honey. What a place. But there were giants in the land. We can't take it. And God says, okay, then you won't. Of course you can't, fool. I didn't say go get the land. I said I'm going to give it to you. There's a big difference. Yep. Right. And so after that, they said, okay, well, we changed our mind. We're gonna go. And they go up to Ai and get trashed. Why? Can't do it yourself. But we'll try. We'll try. And if you want to know why you fail, so you can learn weakness and dependence on God. I think you should try. I really like it when folks try. And you'll get some measure of success. Praise the Lord. Amen. You'll start getting excited about, oh, yeah, we can do this. Then,
What happened? Doesn't God want me to do His work?
Yeah, just to do, you're going to do it His way, not yours.
God doesn't love me. It's not fair.
Yeah. You'll go through it all till you come to grace by faith. Isn't that weird? And then you'll get it. And then you'll appreciate it. And you'll be fascinated by it. It's not you anymore. It's what God does. Weakness. You got to have it. You can hate it all you want to. I hate it. I don't think God said you have to like it. He just said you're going to have it. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He didn't say I had to like it. But you know what rejoicing does? You don't rejoice in something you don't like. Unless you're an idiot. Or unless you're a Christian. They sometimes are accused of being the same. Because folks look at us and say, what are they happy about? They got nothing. Man, they're living in a... Yeah, they live there, and they drive this, and they wear that, and... What are they happy about? Jesus Christ and grace. Rejoice in tribulation. Glory in tribulation. Thank God. So you can fight like you're supposed to fight. Fighting weak is a tough thing. It takes a little while, a little longer to learn that than fighting strong. Quite a while, actually. Thank you, Father, for these things once again, and help us now. Bless and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.